And now to that Rolling Stone article describing rapes on the University of Virginia campus. It includes one student's account of her brutal gang rape in a frat house in 2012. Her male friends worried they wouldn't get into fraternities if she told anyone. And former female students accused the college of a cover-up of a decades-long rape culture. Hundreds of students and faculty protested this weekend. The president of UVA announced the suspension of fraternities until January 9th and said she'd asked Charlottesville police to investigate. In a minute, a former UVA dean, but first a student. Will Cadigan is part of the Sexual Violence Prevention Coalition and the all-male sexual assault peer education group 1 in 4. Will, what's it like on campus?
The mood is, you know, somber and very reflective, but at the same time, I'm very much inspired by the level of activism and advocacy that is surrounding our campus right now. There are people staging demonstrations and engaging in protests and writing letters and reaching out to already established organizations and really just asking, what can we do? How can we help? And so it's people are really looking towards how they can engage in cultural change and how we as a culture can make sure that we support survivors and make sure that we are really standing behind all the members of our community.
How do you change that culture? One graduate who it was verified was raped on campus and then asked the school for better lighting said she was told by UVA officials that it would ruin Thomas Jefferson's visions of what the school was supposed to look like. He was the founder of the school. We understand it's steeped in this kind of history and culture. How do you change that sense of what the culture is?
I think that this is a culture that is not just present at UVA. This is a culture that is present at universities across America. And I think that specifically as advocates at UVA, what we can do is really seek to move the conversation forward and to engage in educating people. And I think that that's educating people on how they, as, you know, average individuals who may or may not have a direct interaction or connection with this issue, truly can affect cultural change. And I think that inaction is what is especially damaging in our culture.
Should you get rid of the song Rugby Road? It's a song that's sung at football games. It's disgusting. I can't even say anything from it. It's so disgusting.
Yeah, so I will say I have never heard that song at a football game. And I think that was a tradition that stopped before my time at this university. And I know that a lot of traditions are going to change just as communities change. And I think one thing about UVA is that its traditions are incredibly resistant to change. But I think that we as students now are trying to push forward and we're trying to change a lot of those traditions. And I think that song is a good indication of sort of how not just UVA culture, but culture across America is really been instilled and is evolving. And I think that that song has been largely phased out of UVA culture, but is a symbol of where we've come from.
Yeah. That's UVA student Will Cadigan. By the way, Rugby Road is the road fraternities are on at UVA. The song is about pretty much about using women for sex. It's in the Rolling Stone article. We'll link you at herenow.org. Will, thank you. And let's bring in John Fobert, former UVA dean and founder of the group Will Belongs To, 1 in 4. That refers to the statistic about how many college women report surviving rape or attempted rape. Dr. Fobert, you were quoted by Rolling Stone as saying, UVA is more egregious than most schools. Do you agree that there is a cover-up of sexual assault at UVA?
I do. And I think generally speaking, it's looked at as a negative PR issue rather than something that needs to be addressed head-on, at least so far as upper administration goes. I think the best thing UVA has going for it is a very activist student population. In my experience there, higher administrators and the PR office just seem to want to brush the issue aside.
Well, they have a dean that women can go to, or men, if there's been an assault. They're given choices. Women can file a criminal complaint with police. They can file a complaint with the school sexual misconduct board and get a hearing with a jury of students and a dean as a judge, or they can have a more informal interaction. They can face their attackers in front of Dean Nicole Aramo, who heads this sexual assault board. So, you know, on paper, they are offering students a path.
Well, I guess I would say a couple things. When I was a dean there and I would have students come to me who had experienced sexual assault and I would give them their options, they would then meet with the dean of students who would try to get them to mediate the case. And from my perception, you know, mediation is not appropriate when we're talking about a felony. And it's also one way that institutions can sort of fake their data to say, oh, there's no problem here. Now, I'm not saying everyone who works at UVA is like that, or for that matter at other institutions, but there just seems to be this persistent disbelief of survivors and this persistent attempt to try to make it look like, oh, there's no rape problem here. The fact is, there is.
UVA is one of only 12 schools under an investigation known as Compliance Review. They're also one of 86 schools under federal investigation. But when you talk about that the mediation isn't the way to go, only a fraction of the women given the choice do choose to go to the police and file a criminal complaint. What do you do about that? We're reading that in Rolling Stone that last year, 38 students went to the dean's office, up from 20 the year before, saying that they were sexually assaulted, but only 9 filed any kind of complaints, mostly the kind of in-house mediation, and then 29 just evaporated, went away. What do you do to change that?
Well, I think you need to be able to convince students that if it's reported, something's going to happen to the perpetrator. And it would be a little bit of a red flag to me if I saw that there were 38 students going to an administrator and then so few decided to move forward to participate in a formal investigation. It is a persistent problem, and that's not just at UVA. That is nationwide. But I would be concerned, particularly if you have that option for, you know, this informal resolution, which just sounds ridiculous, if not illegal, to me. So we have to get rid of that particular type of option because, as I said, you don't mediate a felony.
Yeah. Well, this is the same school where lacrosse player George Hughley beat his girlfriend Yardley Love to death. He'd had drunken, jealous rages before. It's the school that was attended by Hannah Graham. Her body was recently found. Her accused attacker is Jesse Matthew. He was accused of sexual assault at 2 different Virginia colleges he attended. There were never prosecutions there. And we know a survey came out recently that showed that most of these attacks on college campuses that young men admit to are being perpetrated by serial attackers. Your concern about, if left unchecked, what happens there?
Well, if left unchecked, you have serial perpetrators who are there on campus and who are emboldened to do essentially whatever they please if there's no consequence for it. And so, you know, we know that women are at more risk of experiencing rape if they're on a college campus than if they're not. And it's incumbent upon administrators and others in higher education to make sure that we're doing everything possible to make sure that women have equal access to education, which is guaranteed through Title IX. So we have a long way to go on college campuses.
That's John Fulbert, former dean at UVA and founder of the National Group 1 in 4. Dr. Fulbert, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.